Hey everyone, welcome to Edge of Wonder with your hosts Rob and Ben. Remember Spygate from way back in the good old days of Hillary and Trump? Well, it's back on everyone's radar. But why? And why has the mainstream media stayed silent? And why is nobody going deeper after the Michael Sussman's acquittal just today? Watergate and past collusion pale in comparison to the levels of spying that are possible today. So why not look into the simple truth about it all underneath the lies and division? With gun control and politics in the news, we wanted to take a deep dive to raise what's been buried under these trending topics. Why does the mainstream media think that they can get away with pretty much anything these days?
Well, that's what we're going to get into right here on tonight's live. But before we start, don't forget to follow us on Rumble so we can keep bringing you free content to share with your friends and family. And for our full, uncensored live shows with an exclusive Q&A, and for movies, Edge of Wonder series, and more, join us on Rise.tv. It's just $9.99 a month to support us, and we give you so much content back in return. We can't wait to see you there with our hilarious Rise TV community. So let's get started, and we'll see you out
on the edge.
I like how they kind of snuck you in there a little bit at the end.
Well, I was like, oh, yeah, we probably shouldn't have... we need to show both of us. It was just, yeah. Anyway, So how are you doing, man? So much going on.
Today's been nuts in and of itself. I mean, the fact that, you know, to be quite honest, I can't say I'm very surprised. No, you know, I don't mean to be negative Nancy or anything like that. And my name certainly isn't Nancy, but it definitely was not that surprising to me, because if someone at the level of Hillary Clinton actually goes down, I think it would take all of DC down with her. And so they all seem to be protecting that, you know, that's what it seems like to me anyway. I don't know about you.
Yeah. I mean, well, look at, speaking of Nancy, you know, Nancy Pelosi's husband got arrested for a DUI, right?
Yeah. What's up with that?
Probably nothing, honestly. It's like these people, they have like immunity. They can kill somebody, and you know, the jury's probably afraid they're gonna kill them, and so it's like, you can go off, no problem, you know,
like American Psycho cover up.
So I mean, I'm not trying to say that that's what. I'm by all means, I'm not trying to compare Nancy Pelosi's husband, and I'm just trying to make a point about this. You know, we hear about this a lot, but I mean, the thing is that Sussman was caught pretty much red-handed lying to the FBI. Like, if you guys don't know what happened, he was basically charged of one count lying to the government because he told a bureau official ahead of the 2016 presidential campaign that he was not bringing derogatory information about president or then candidate Trump and Russia on behalf of a client. Then right after that, he charged the Hillary campaign with providing that information to the FBI, which was like around like $160,000 or something. And that was literally her campaign money that they used to basically to pay him off. So, I mean, and then it's like, oh yeah, he's acquitted, but we're going to really talk about what's going on with this jury, because a lot of stuff is starting to come out. That's just like, oh, okay.
Doesn't make sense really. Right.
No, it doesn't make sense, but it's like you said, Rob, we kind of knew, you know, this is a very, they all kind of look after one another. So if one person goes down, it's going to bring the whole system. So it's like they would rather just not have that happen. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing on some level.
So I'm sorry, I was looking down while you were talking. I was listening to everything you were saying, I swear. Mm-hmm. But sure. I was looking for an article that I was reading earlier. Mm-hmm. And it was an Epoch Times article. And in the article, they quoted a juror. And the juror said, quote, "I don't think it should have been prosecuted," one juror told reporters. "There are bigger things that affect the nation than a possible lie to the FBI." Oh, you mean like election fraud? No, probably that's not what you mean. So what are you referring to? Because someone lying to the FBI in a federal case is the biggest thing that we should be prosecuting.
Like, right. I mean,
this is like the state of people now. You know, how do you fix that? How do you fix people?
Well, you know, and remember what happened with Michael Flynn, right? I mean, this is the exact same issue. He was even coerced into lying because like there was something going on with his son. And so actually there's a tweet that we can pull up with this that I saw today. Somebody was talking about it. Dom or Lindsay, I'm not sure. We have Dom kind of helping us out today. So things
just
might
call them
be...
Domzy.
Okay. This is okay, here we go. So this is from Greg Price. Michael Flynn was dragged through the legal hell for years on charges. He lied to the FBI, even though it was clear that they entrapped him. Hillary's former campaign manager literally testified that she gave the green light to spread the fake Alpha Bank story. Sussman was acquitted anyway. And it's like everyone on the other side is just like, oh yeah, no problem. Like you can, like this is like he was free. End of story. We shouldn't talk about it anymore. And it's like, do you guys understand the level of corruption that we're dealing with and what we're dealing with here? I mean, this is something that we seriously like. We haven't faced this before.
But I think that it's again, like just judging by that juror's statement, it's almost like, I don't know that most Americans have been so affected by communism and socialism.
Yeah.
That I think that there is a large part that have no code anymore. Like they don't even, it's like, it's just like they said, like, oh, there's bigger things to worry about. Like, what do you mean there are bigger things to worry? Like, how do we have a justice system where we rely on a jury and the jurors don't have any sense at all? That is the dumbest statement I've ever heard.
I completely agree.
Now, okay. If the jury was threatened, right? Like, let's say the jury was threatened to judge a certain way. That's mm-hmm. different, kind of. At least, like that would make me feel a little bit more confident in humanity. But right now, you know, I have general confidence in humanity. But I'm also very aware that, you know, people have been extremely affected by this nonsense. You know,
like,
what can you do? And you found something crazy, right? Like, I think it was Dane originally that had posted something about connections here. Like, what's up with this?
You want to read this, Ref?
Okay, so it says, yes, it's true. Judge Chris Cooper, the Sussman trial, is married to Amy Jeffries, Lisa Page's lawyer. Merrick Garland officiated the marriage of Cooper and Jeffries. All right, so for people that don't know who these people are, tell us.
Yeah, so Lisa Page had the email exchange with Peter Strzok, who was working with the FBI, who was the one that originally ran with the dossier that was created. And there's all these email exchanges. And then Lisa Page also was confirming that Obama specifically wanted to spy on Trump's campaign. So these are all in text messages and in emails. And it's just like the courts are just like, well,
that's evidence.
This is more than evidence. I mean, this is such a big deal.
Yeah, you're saying that's really a smoking gun.
It's really a smoking gun. But as we see, this is why, you know, this is equivalent of someone committing a crime and the person goes to court, but his brother happens to be the judge and is like, oh yeah, don't worry about it. You're going to get off. You know, and this is like, it's like this one big family that everyone, you know? So you brought up this question earlier. Like, what do we kind of knew that nothing was going to happen. And what do you think is a positive twist on this, Rob? Like, what's your, like, do you think that there is a positive twist on this, or it's just like we're all just doomed.
I would never say that we're all doomed. I think that honestly, at a certain point, for true believers, right, for people that have true faith, relying on a human being to tell you what's right and what wrong, or like these human beings out there just to tell you what's right and wrong, is like you're looking outside of yourself for the answers. And that's not what I think we should really be doing. I think it's sad, but when it comes down to it, like we need to be so strong in ourselves and in our faith and in the universe and God who created the universe, that we can stand on our own two feet, regardless of how people around us are being, are existing, are acting, are changing things, because only that faith is immutable. It's unchanging. Right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that sounds kind of spiritual, and I'm not trying to preach. What I'm trying to say is that principles outweigh all of this stuff. And I think like right now, I kind of feel like I was just kind of like this really hit me while you were delivering the information, is that people now are like, you know, Moses kind of like dropped everyone off. Was it in the desert? And then he went away for like, was it 30 40 years?
40 days or
40, day, 40 days,
40 days, 40? 40 years. I don't remember.
Okay.
I think it was just like 30 days.
Yeah. We don't have the numbers here, but the principle is he left for like, actually, Lindsay, are you there? She's still here. She'll be able to tell us that time.
Let me look it up. So the Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years, but I don't know how long Moses was up.
No, he left them for a certain amount of time. And when he came back, they were all worshiping idols again. And he had spent all of that time trying to clear them up. But like, at least they were following Moses. We don't even have that right now. So it's like
he spent 40 days up on the mountain.
It was 40 days, right. So he spent 40 days, and then people had convinced him when he got back to do other things. And of course, Moses got really frustrated, right? But I almost kind of feel like people need to want to make these changes and to be principled people. We can't ask people to do that. So something really needs to change inside. And I don't know what that is. It's like there's something big that has to happen here, because when we have a jury that doesn't even know right from wrong, and they're actually, you know, they're setting the fate of our country. That's why it's like the strong need to become stronger, and the weak are just going to keep getting weaker, man.
It really is. I mean, the only positive thing, well, actually, when Elon was tweeting in response to this and talking about this Michael Sussman thing, like last week, I think it was, now like Twitter has privately or quietly blocked part of his account. So you can't look at his tweets and responses.
Elon's?
Yeah. Yeah. So if you go down, all you can see is like the last 2 days. That's it. Like after he started tweeting about this, they like quietly suppressed his Twitter. And it's interesting.
We should call it quitter. Quit on Twitter.
That was such
a happy mistake.
Yeah. Happy. Yeah. So, but anyway, so yeah, so it's really fascinating. And there's been like, I noticed it even like weeks ago. I was like, yeah, I'm trying to tell him about it, but I'm so like blocked on Twitter that I can't do anything. But it's interesting because it really happened right after that. And here's the article right here that was just talking about it. Elon claims something very strange is happening to his Twitter feed. So
Okay. And so I see some comments here, like, is there any information yet about these jurors, like, who are they? Was this set up? Were they like programmed placed in there, you know?
Arranged? Yeah. So there was one juror that came out publicly and started talking, and it's just, it was really weird, actually. Lindsay, I don't, can you, I didn't put that in the doc, so I don't know if you can pull that up and find it, But a lot of people are commenting on her specifically, just how she kind of said, it was just kind of strange. It kind of looked like something was going on and something was happening behind the scenes anyway. Once we find it, I'll show it to you.
Ben, can you say that again?
Look for the juror that went public talking about the Michael. I keep wanting to say
somebody. Somebody here, Stephanie, you said three are Clinton donors and one is an AOC donor.
So that's what I've been hearing, but I can't. I haven't been able to
corroborate it.
Yeah. No. Okay. Oh, here. Actually. Oh, actually, I found it. It is in the doc. Sorry, guys. There's a video on it. So, Dom, can you pull that? It's a Benny Johnson tweet. And there's a video here. And this is the one that kind of talks about a lot of things going on with this. So let's pull this up real quick. And as we're waiting for that, Fox News also had a really interesting response too. So I want to show Fox News's response.
Well, yeah. I'd miss it. Thank you very much. Got a donation there.
Oh, great. Are you guys pulling that up?
Yep, we're working on it.
Okay, cool.
Looks like there is a baby formula ad there for all the baby formula no one can buy.
But you can buy drugs on the street, no problem.
Yeah, right.
Problem for Durham is the jury and the judge. I mean, he is facing a jury that has three Clinton donors, an AOC donor, and a woman whose daughter is on the same sports team with Sussman's daughter. I mean, the exception of randomly selecting people out of headquarters, you could not come up with a worse jury.
Welcome to Washington, D.C.
Right.
All right. Jonathan Turley, as always, thank you.
Thank you
for following all of this.
The problem for Durham is the jury.
Welcome to DC is enough of an answer. Like this, the sheer corruption is like it. And of course, you know, everything I said at the beginning is still valid. It's like this is stupidity as well. You know, it's we don't have a democracy, we have an idiocracy.
That's we do. That's exactly it. And you know, I think the thing is that when Trump was president, he was really fighting an uphill battle, and I think the main thing is that he didn't realize how he wanted to believe in the system, even though everyone kept telling him the system is corrupt to the core. You know, if you really truly want to clean the system, it's like you need to almost create a brand new form of government in a lot of ways.
You have to I mean, this is why I really think he should have done military police, you know?
Yeah. And in a lot of ways. So here, Rob, you want to read Trump? So this is Trump's response on Truth Social today. If you want to read this, Rob.
Sure. He said, our legal system is corrupt. Our judges and justices are highly partisan, compromised, or just plain scared. Our borders are open. Our elections are rigged. Inflation is rampant. Gas prices and food costs are through the roof. Our military leadership, quote unquote, is woke. Our country is going to hell. And Michael Sussman is not guilty. How's everything else doing? Enjoy your day. Classic.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I mean, I think the main thing is that one, a lot of people have woken up through this aspect. Even, you know, it's like we're kind of looking at Twitter, but I mean, really, Twitter is just it's just a bag of cats, really. I mean, it's just a weapon that is being utilized. And by the way, it also came out that Michael Sussman, so this was a while ago. This was before I think Trump was president, but Michael Sussman actually got a friend of his a job at Twitter. Did you know that?
No. I mean, that could be normal, all right? Like, I'm trying to play not the devil's advocate even here, but just like that could be normal. Like everybody knows everybody kind of thing. Right. And that's a big corporation, but did he pull any strings to get to that, change so, Twitter? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that I don't know 100%, but there was a post with text messages that came out talking about it. And again, this was like a while ago, and I don't know if, you know, the person is still working there or not, but it just really shows how massive this whole network really, like how deep it really gets, you know?
The only kind of win that I think we've had over the last couple of months is Elon trying to buy Twitter. And that's stalled now too.
It is.
So is that going to happen?
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. I wish it would. The problem is that he, you know, as we know,
he doesn't want to buy a piece of software code, whatever you want to call it, a platform that is 40% bots or 60% bots.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly it. So here's another comment about the juries, if you want to read this too. Oh, sorry, guys. Wrong one. Let me pull the other one.
No worries.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. You know, it's like, and then Twitter, the CEO of Twitter would not come out and say directly how many bots are on there, and gave this like super long explanation. And it's just like, it's just a simple answer. How many bots are on Twitter? If I'm gonna buy this, I want to know. So here, this is what I was referring to, Rob. You can read this.
So this is MZ Hemingway, Molly. She said, allowing a continuation of two standards of justice, one where friends of the regime can do anything and get off scot-free, and one where opponents of the regime will have their lives destroyed for things that friends of the regime can do, is an existential threat to the country. Obviously. I mean, the fact that someone has to write it that clearly means things are very, very crazy.
Very, very crazy. Okay, I found what I was looking for. I thought I had this. Sorry, I was like looking at so many things today and reading so many things this is pretty crazy. Michael's okay. This is from at Voltra MK. Michael Sussman worked with Twitter for 10 years and got James Baker the job there. That's really interesting. I wonder what kind of back channels they were using Twitter for. At Elon Musk should look into that data trail if he gets the opportunity. And here's a screenshot from a document that came out. If we look at the May 5th, 2020 text message at 10:28 p.m., do you mind just reading that text message from Mr. Sussman? So this is in the trial
now. The trial.
And this is Michael. Quote, Jim, I just heard the good news. Congratulations to you and especially to Twitter for getting you on their team. I've been working with them for 10 years and I love the company. Great issues and lots of fun challenges for you and some really good people. So right there. And that's why Twitter was removing any references to Michael.
He's a lawyer, right? So was he doing litigation for them or consulting?
So he was working with, he lied to the FBI, and actually, it just completely had a brain fart about what he was actually doing. He might have been, I just had that information and I just lost it. I think he was a lawyer, but I could be wrong about that. People in the chat were probably like freaking out, like, no, he was this. I kind of forget, honestly. There's so many people related, and honestly, no one even knew. I didn't even know who this guy was. And I've been like following this since all this happened. I was like, man, I'm sure I've heard of his name before, but he wasn't like on anyone's radar.
I think the issue is that these are really like Durham. I'm curious what his strategy is, because these, like, this was the easiest way to gain entry into a much broader, it was like a gateway case, maybe arguably, to get into much bigger things.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause if you get them to agree on something small, well, can we agree on something a little bit bigger? And that didn't even go through.
Exactly.
Completely shut off.
Yeah.
So did you see the picture of Durham walking out of the, whatever. He just looked really upset. He just looked like perturbed, you know?
It's like, well, all the American people are really kind of like, he's kind of like, in essence, the hope for everybody, you know. It's like, faith that the court system is going to work, you know, and it's like, he's been investigating this since day one, and everyone's waiting for something to happen.
And you you can't do anything if the jury is crooked.
That's just it. I mean, he's one guy that's, you know, basically got dirt on everybody. It's like, here, we have this red-handed, here it is, I mean, look what happened with 2000 Mules, right? I mean, now they're trying to argue that you can't use cell phone data. And it's like, that's retarded.
Okay, all right.
Sorry.
But Ben, so it was yesterday, I checked, I went to the gym, I ran around a bit, and I came back home. And I have to go up like three flights of stairs, you know, and I looked down at my watch and it said that I ascended 20 feet. My watch told me that. Mm-hmm. You mean to tell me that if my watch knows when I've gone up, like that's not even satellite information. Like it knows when I've actually ascended, that a phone can't tell if we're within a few feet of where our phone is. There's no way. The technology is pushed way too far.
Yeah, 100% agree. And actually, you know, when we were talking about this, something that I forgot to bring up when we were talking about the 2000 Mules and the GPS and everything else, you know, recently I lost my wallet, but I was in a parking lot. And then as I'm walking home, I realized that, oh my gosh, like I just had my wallet and I don't have it. So I must've dropped it when I got out of my car. So I went back to my car and I was looking for it. And I actually have one of the Apple tags in my wallet.
Right.
So I was looking at my, what happened was I got an alert on my phone saying your wallet is not with you. And I was like, what? So then I looked down and I was like, oh my God, it really isn't. So then I opened my phone and I can see my wallet moving. So I'm like, okay, somebody has it. So then I'm like, and it's like around me. So I'm like looking at everybody and I'm like, I feel weird because I'm like staring at every single person I'm walking by, you know? So, and then the service was really bad in the area that I was in. So I actually had to walk out of that area to get service again. And then it was like, I finally just saw it and it said it was at this restaurant. And I'm like, okay. So then I go to that restaurant, which I was standing right in front of. And I just said, hey, I walked in there and I was like, did someone turn in a wallet? And the guy was like super shocked. And he's like, we have a wallet. And then he holds it up and I'm like, yep, that's my wallet. And so I was like, the money was gone. Unfortunately, it wasn't really that much money, but it's like, I was like, I'm just glad to get my wallet back. But it literally showed me what restaurant my wallet was in. So you're telling me that these GPS, the thing that the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, basically any organization on the planet uses to find people, and what they used for January 6th to see if people were there, now it's like, oh no, it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
So can they still not use those in court, or does that still hold up? That's the question. So anyway, crazy stuff. We need to play a trailer, don't we? Or do something.
I think we do.
Yes.
Okay. We'll play a trailer and then we'll get back into what exactly is Spygate, and we will show the infographic and kind of break it down a little bit. So it's
there's a lot more to Spygate than meets the eye, and we'll get to that right after this break.
Part ape. Part human hybrid. Cyborgs and Terminator technology already existing. sentient robots becoming indistinguishable from people. No, it's not the plot of the newest Matrix movie. This is our reality, a transhumanist one. How does transcending humanism tie into eugenics, Darwinism, and even cloning? Is there any part of our world that transhumanism hasn't touched? Is resistance futile? How can we rage against the machine?
All right, you guys, welcome back. Yeah, that's our transhumanism series. That's on rise.tv. We put a lot of hard work into that one. Very interesting stuff if you haven't seen it. So go over there to check it out. It's just $9.99 a month if you want to support our work. And we put out a bunch of content over there for you guys. So we're actually going to show you all where the term Spygate even came from, which was kind of...
It was Trump.
Pushed. It was Trump, but then the Epoch Times really solidified it. They did. With an insane infographic that I think you can't really wade into this without showing it all. And I think they just decided to put it all up on several pages, actually, in their newspaper.
Yeah, it was a massive spread that, you know, and actually Elon Musk responded directly to the Epoch Times in a thread. Jan Ukalik, who has his what's his show called? American Thought Leaders. Yeah. So he has American Thought Leaders, and he responded. And actually, that was the first time that Michael Sussman started trending, because Elon responded to that, and it was trending on you know. But then he wrote Sussman, and everyone's like, oh, what is he talking about? And then it was actually Michael Sussman that he's talking about. So
right.
So yeah. So if you guys, Lindsay and Dom, you guys can kind of show the Spygate. Actually, show this article. Well, before we go into
the article,
there is this article. So this is the article that Epoch Times wrote, and it's just Spygate, this true story of collusion. And has everything in it. It breaks down every aspect of this. If you guys want to pull that up. And so, you know, because this is like, as Elon mentioned, like, you know, he wrote in response to it, like confusion gate, you know, because it is confusing, because but this is the thing that's so insane. When you look at this thing, it's like, it does look very confusing, but then there's so many people involved, and it just shows the level of corruption that they went through to try to sustain this election.
Yeah, and we've got all of this listed out. We're going to sum up all of this for you guys. So are you guys able to pull that article up for us? Thank you.
There you go.
Okay, scroll down a little bit. There you go. Okay. So, all right. I mean, we can read this a little bit. There's just like a few points here, and it kind of breaks down some of the more important aspects to what happened. So basically, I mean, the CIA director, John Brennan, with some assistance from the director of national intelligence, James Clapper, gathered foreign intelligence and fed it throughout our domestic intelligence community. Then the FBI became the handler for Brennan's intelligence and engaged in more practical elements of surveillance. Rob, you want to take the next couple?
Oh my God. The Department of Justice facilitated investigations by the FBI and legal maneuverings while providing a crucial shield of non-disclosure. The Department of State became a mechanism of information dissemination and leaks. Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign and the Democratic National Committee provided funding, support, and media collusion. So they okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it was nearly $1 million that was provided. And again, that $1 million was through the campaign aspect. So this isn't like
it was from the campaign.
It was from the campaign. And, right. You know, when you're spending money on a campaign, every dollar needs to be accounted for. And you can't do things like this. Mm-hmm. The Obama administration officials were complicit and engaged in unmasking and intelligence gathering and dissemination. Shay, thank you. Yes.
Hey, guys, what's unmasking?
Well, like revealing it. You know, engage in revealing and intelligence gathering. So it's like they unmasking
and yeah,
who was like supposedly behind this, you know, and actually that's when Flynn came out, or that's so basically they called out Flynn, who actually was trying to do the correct thing. And the reason why Obama called Flynn out from the very beginning was because he served under Obama and knew every aspect of government, of what was going on within Obama's presidency. So and then Flynn got fired. And so if Trump and Flynn teamed up, this would really harm what they were trying to do, because it's like Flynn holds all the secrets. So they basically framed him and forced him into lying into the FBI. And that's how all this started. And now we have Michael Sussman, who is also lying to the FBI. And yet it's like, oh, that's okay, we'll just sweep it underneath the rug because he was acquitted. So if you're acquitted, then it's like, you know, but in reality, they couldn't do anything against Flynn because he was telling the truth the whole time. So anyway, Rob, you want to continue on?
Yeah, the media was the media was the most corrosive element in many respects. None of these events could have transpired without their willing participation. Stories were pushed, facts were ignored, and narratives were promoted. Let's start with the simple premise: the candidacy of Trump presented both an opportunity and a threat.
Yeah. And this article is super long. We're not going to read the whole thing, but there was a couple other points that I want to bring out.
Well, wait, can you go to the top of that list first again? So I think 1 and 2 capitalize how incredibly different and more serious this is than Watergate. Okay. Yeah. CIA director John Brennan, with some assistance from the director of national intelligence, all right, gathered foreign intelligence and fed it through our domestic intelligence community. So the director of the CIA and the director of national intelligence were like worked together with conspirators against President Trump to surveil him. This is Watergate times like 1,000.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. And the problem is that they used everything at their disposal. I mean, this includes the FBI and the CIA. And so, you know, going further with this, actually, can you guys show the infographic, you know, in that article? You can just kind of show it as we're talking, like keep us small, but show the infographic. The FBI itself was composed of various factions, with a particularly active element that has come to be known as the insurance policy group. This infographic right here is basically the insurance policy group. The reason why this is so confusing is because it involves so many different people on so many different levels, using so many different government organizations, funneling money in and all of the above. So it's like everybody was in on this. They literally thought there was absolutely no way that they could lose this election, or if they did, this was the insurance policy to take Trump down. But I don't think they realized how strong Trump, like the American people, how much they love Trump, and two, that there was a lot of other people calling him out, saying that when they were very sloppy with this job. Again, there was like text messages that came out, all these things that were coming out. There was a lot, tons of information being leaked online. Then you have all these like shell companies like the Fusion GPS and all these different aspects that were created to create this fake dossier. They even got this woman to meet with Trump, who was supposedly like a Russian operative. And then they used her story against him, saying that, you know, this is the Russian collusion right here. He met with this woman. But then what the media didn't say was that on the exact same day before she met with Trump, she was also meeting with the people that worked with the Steele dossier. And the Steele is that he got the money to actually create the dossier and then take this back to all of these people. And then they ran with this whole story. So, I mean, literally, you guys, I mean, you guys know this at home. We all know like how insane this network is. I mean, in reality, we are essentially looking at the deep state. This is the deep state.
It's actually a part of the deep state, that of which functions within the United States.
Yeah. The United States aspect. And that's how the term deep state even really started being used, was through this. You know,
might as well call it the swamp state.
The swamp state, yeah.
Yeah. It's like it's the swamp. It's just a bunch of swampy people who apparently don't have principles anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's really it. And I think the main thing is that, you know, again, and then once things started getting to the public and people started understanding what was going on, they purposely made it even more convoluted and confusing for people to put the pieces together. And that's why Epoch Times came out with this infographic, because they were at the time the first ones to really be able to present this in a very credible way, you know. And I know it took them a long time to do this. So, but it goes so much into detail about all these companies, Fusion GPS, like all these things. It's very important, the name of these companies, but just basically in a nutshell, Obama and Hillary, using the CIA and the FBI, created a whole entire fake narrative while simultaneously spying on the Trump campaign to make sure that they win this election using campaign funds. And that's basically what it is in a nutshell. So how they got away with it, I don't know. How else do people get away with things?
I mean,
all right, you guys can take it down. Thanks.
It's like that's a rhetorical question now. How'd they get away with it? How'd they get away with everything they did? You know, like, how'd they get away with sending out over 2,000 mules to, you know,
yeah.
Take election down. Electoral depositories. I mean, it's swamp. It's a big old swamp. And there's, you know, it's like they actually, you know, finding a good person in Washington, D.C. is probably easier to find a needle in a haystack than it is to find someone good in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, you might be right. Yeah. Or especially somebody who has like some kind of authority, you mean, you know?
Not authority, but just like honor.
Anybody.
Honor. Principle. Like anyone who has like is like a normal person that has a head on their shoulders. You know, I think like everyone is compromised.
I mean, like there's like small people in DC. I guess I'm more referring to like the official.
Yeah, I mean,
officials.
We're looking at those in office, because there's lots of just normal good people underneath or at various levels of the government, right? But when it comes to who's in office, like, certain things really don't add up. Like, how is AOC in office right now? How is Chuck Schumer in office? How's Nancy Pelosi and her nephew in office? You know, the American psycho guy. Man, I probably shouldn't say that. what's his name again? The governor of California.
Newsom. Gavin.
Yeah, Newsom. Sorry, just slipped my mind for some reason. How could that happen? I don't know. But yeah, it's like, how are these people even getting in? I don't think people are voting for them. I think that all they did was what they do at local levels on a wider scale for this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean,
yeah. Yeah. There was somebody, I can't remember now who I was speaking with, but I was speaking with somebody in California recently. Somebody who, I can't remember if they were running. I think they were running for some position, actually. And they were like, definitely telling me, they're like, dude, believe me, nobody voted for Newsom. Like, he should have been long out, you know. Yeah. Like, a lot of these people, he's like, same thing with New York and all these things. It's like, it's like, I saw it firsthand in New York. I mean, maybe not with Cuomo, because he didn't really come in the city, but I went to like any event that I would go to and de Blasio was there, everyone was booing. And it's like, how did this guy get elected? Honestly,
it doesn't even make sense.
No,
he's like a hippie.
Yeah.
And his wife never made sense in that in that town, you know.
It's so weird. It really
And it's
is.
Not like there were other great candidates or whatever, but it was definitely not them.
I actually was there. Yeah, we were there and for that election, and I was just like, man, all of them kind of are like kind of lame. There was like this one guy, I think it was this black guy that I was really hoping for him to win. But and then there was John Liu as well, the Chinese guy.
That guy's like crazy.
Directly
actually.
Paid off by the CCP. Yeah. So
definitely good he didn't get in. But like it's weird, you know, how that stuff played out. I mean, for sure.
Yeah, because I mean, it's kind of the same one way or the other, I guess. It really is. So. Yeah. Anyway, so we're gonna have Seth coming on here very soon to join us. He wanted to talk. He just released his a new show that he's gonna have on Rise TV. So he just published his first one, and he wanted we're gonna kind of promote it a little bit. And so we'll wait for him to jump on here.
Yeah, and then after that, we're gonna give everyone a little bit of a reminder about what Operation Mockingbird is and how the CIA. Back in the 70s, even, were paying and threatening journalists to do its work. I mean, this is as long ago as the 70s. Safe to say that now these corporations are just owned.
Yeah, I mean, they're just being paid off by Bill Gates now.
Right, yeah.
Bill Gates and World Economic Forum, it seems. So it's pretty crazy with that. And all by the way, while we're waiting for Seth too, I also I published an episode, an interview that I did with Robert Potter and Dr. Raymond Keller, and it was a very fascinating interview. It was very different, but we talked all about like people potentially from Venus, such as Tesla. Valiant Thor, Tesla, you know, and they talk about their own experiences. We get into like a big conversation about CERN and some really wild stuff about ETs and UFOs and everything else. So that's on there right now. Yeah, that's it. Visitors from Venus. So it's kind of a little bit more of a controversial episode, but I think people will kind of like it because of that. So it's pretty interesting. So that's going
to, can you scroll over, leave that up. Can you scroll over to the left a little bit? So did Seth,
and there's Seth,
purposely try to get people to not watch this by putting George Soros on?
It almost looks like
George is taking a crap.
or it looks like a deep insight with George Soros, which you probably don't.
Yeah, know. Deep insight by George Soros. Like, come into the mind of George Soros and learn everything on it. You go in there, it's like, it's Nightmare on Elm Street in there.
Yeah, I mean, that would be like going in the mind of Hitler, right? So pretty funny stuff. But yeah, and also, so I don't... Seth said he was going to come on. So are you guys following up with Seth, Lindsay?
He's getting set up. It'll be a few minutes.
Okay, awesome. Sounds
that means
good.
He's not coming on, so we can just move on. Just kidding.
Well, while we're waiting for Seth too, I will be speaking in July at a conference at Mount Shasta from the 7th to 11th. And you can still get tickets at thepromisedreveal.net. And you can use the code BEN10 to get a discount off your tickets there. So I'm really looking forward to that. Laura Eisenhower will be there. Brad Olson, a bunch of early Alex Collier will be there, and then they will be there as well. So it'll be a pretty fun, awesome time. So hope to see you guys out there. Yeah. I'll be talking a lot about, my own personal experiences and also like Mandela effect and interesting timeline.
Oh,
stuff,
yeah.
So. Interdimensional beings. That's what I wanted to say. Yeah.
The Bendela effect in full effect.
Bendela effect. So awesome. Well, I mean, man, it really has been, it's like each week I just feel it gets heavier and heavier. So, and actually as we're going to get into the Project Mockingbird once Seth comes in and all the stuff and all the media that was involved with it.
Well, what's interesting about, we'll kind of get into a little bit before Seth gets on here. Cause
start talking about it.
So basically what's interesting about Operation Mockingbird is that it was Carl Bernstein who won the Pulitzer Prize, for his work on, in public service. And I think I can't remember what he won the Pulitzer Prize for, if it was for exposing Watergate or if it was the CIA aspect, I think it was exposing.
He was the one that really exposed this, what was happening with the CIA and the Operation Mockingbird itself.
Yeah. So, you know, what's strange is he came out. What made me really think there was something fishy with this guy is when he came out really strongly against Trump, basically trying to say that the Russia collusion stuff was real and it happened. And there was literally no evidence. So at that point, I was like, this guy's either being paid off or he's off his rocker or he still thinks he's relevant. I don't know. But he basically left the Washington Post in 1977, and he spent a significant amount of time researching the CIA's relationship with the press, like specifically, right? And he published his findings in a Rolling Stones article published on October 20th, 1977. And he basically outlined in this incredibly thorough amount of research that journalists and chair people in many of the top media outlets all had relationships with the CIA, like direct relationships. And some of them were even giving like cover for their agents or being agents in those organizations. So
exactly.
So the operation was then terminated, right? And it was released in a document by the CIA called The Family Jewels. That was the name of the document. Like, as much as I hate the CIA, they have a way with naming some of these things.
Yeah, it really is.
Which is kind of funny because it was called The Family Jewels, and then Carl Bernstein's, the guy giving him all of the information in Watergate was some character named Deep Throat. It's like weird. Like, you
because that well that up. That movie just came out. Which is why that's why he chose that name, I guess, because at the time that movie just came out. But anyway,
and all of this is outlined like in this document, basically saying all of this stuff. So of course it got scrapped, but we don't know how the CIA never once something gets they get a hold of something, they don't just scrap it. They throw out the clothes and then they put a new pair of clothes on it and keep going. Like, that why do all of that research and spend all of that money on it if you're not going to continue with it, right? Like, you're not going to do that.
Exactly. Exactly.
So yeah, like as early as 1977, the CIA had already infiltrated tons of the media, and this is when media was, well, at least a little better than it is now. We don't know how much better, but I don't think it was as bad as it is now, where it's just completely overrun.
It's completely overrun. Yeah, I mean, some of the, you know, it was specifically some journalists, which I won't mention because there's too many, no one really knows these journalists now because this was back in the 70s. But one of the most important journalists under the control of Operation Mockingbird was Joseph Alsop, who was, his brother was also involved with this too. But anyway, I mean, it's that you got everything from the New York Herald Tribune, which doesn't exist anymore, but did, Newsweek, New York Times, Time Magazine, Washington Post, Miami News, Miami Herald. I mean, it just goes, that's only a few to list some of them, but those are some of the bigger ones, especially during that time. So it's just, and then once everything...
Go ahead. The CIA, which is supposed to be international, not domestic organization, mm-hmm. interfering in American politics, like in domestic affairs, which should be a crime, I imagine. The CIA running the world rather than the United States of America operating. It doesn't actually make any sense. Like, they were completely autonomous, or they still are. Like, think about it. I mean, they don't have to be now because, like, who doesn't think, I guess you could say, like the CIA now? Like, they all do, right? But yeah, it's just strange.
It really is. And it's like that. I mean, that's why they can get away with it. It's like, what is the CIA going to do? Arrest themselves or the FBI investigate themselves? Like, that's not going to happen. And like Comey, you know, that's a whole other aspect to this whole thing with James Comey and how he was in charge of the FBI during all this when Obama was president. And it's like, you know, if you're thinking about it and you're like, yeah, I'm the president. I run all of the government organizations, all the top people in every position from all of the three letter agencies are all on my side. Like, yeah, not, like who's going to attack us? Who's going, like, we're invincible. And that's the good thing about it, is that it all did get blasted open. And even though no one's like getting arrested because of it, the world knows. So Seth, how you doing? Good to have you.
Hey, good, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Good, man. Really well. who's playing that music?
That was awesome. I love the guitar intro music.
That was Lindsay playing air guitar in the back.
And Dom's on
drums.
That's awesome.
Oh, it's good to be here. How are you guys doing covering Spygate and the giant?
You know what, Seth? We're not really getting anywhere.
Yeah, welcome to 5 years of Durham.
We've just been talking round and around in circles. I mean,
Seth, one of the things that we found out, though, I don't know if you knew this, but Michael Sussman got somebody at a job at Twitter. And it was like a close friend of his that he specifically got. It was like 10 years ago. So it's not like now.
Honestly, Ben, like you could tell me that Mark Zuckerberg was Sussman's sister that transitioned into a man and started Facebook. And I'd be like, yeah, it makes sense.
But that didn't happen. I think that actually happened. Dude, totally normal these days.
No, he didn't transition from a woman to a man. He transitioned from a human to
a reptile.
Yeah. an android reptile.
I should probably introduce myself. Maybe your Edge of Wonder fans are wondering who's this crazy bearded man. Hello, I'm Seth Woolhouse, man in America. You probably have seen me around these guys.
You've probably seen me on TV.
Such as the brawny paper towels packaging.
Yeah.
So guys, I have tonight at 9 p.m. on Rise TV, we're dropping the first episode of deep insight with Man in America. And it's actually, I mean, it goes right in line with the whole Spygate thing because it's mm-hmm. all about the deep state corruption. Though the first episode is really focused on the oil pipelines over in Ukraine and how the energy is working over there and how the deep state uses the energy and such to take over different nations. And we talk about Soros and Hunter Biden. I mean, it's going to be an awesome, awesome episode. So we're doing a live watch party over on rise.tv where we're going to be premiering it, which is exciting. We have a trailer to show you folks in a little bit here as well.
Yeah, we saw the thumbnail and it was a really constipated picture of George Soros, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to know what this constipated man is thinking. That's what I was thinking. I was like, yeah. I need to go see some deep insights on this.
Yeah. He's like, my oil pipelines are clogged.
Dude, did you guys?
I trained Joe Biden to be incontinent too.
So did you guys know that the railroad company that Bill Gates has the most stock into that company? He has like 30% of it just was transporting oil, I think. And I think I'm pretty sure it was oil. But anyway, the whole train just derailed. And it's like it was food. I think they were transporting like either food or livestock or something like that. And it's just like, what do you do?
That's crazy.
Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt you. It just, when you were talking about the railroad, I was like, oh, I just read that just the other day that the railroad company that the person who owns the most stock in is Bill Gates just happened to derail all their food that was, I think, going to the livestock, or it was anyway, it was one or the other. So crazy stuff.
All right. So are we gonna watch a trailer? I really want to see
the
trailer.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to see it too.
I'm excited for it. So Lindsay, go ahead and roll that trailer when you're ready.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
How are the Ukrainian oil pipelines, Klaus Schwab's Great Reset, and the so-called New World Order agenda connected? Why did Russia invade Ukraine? Why are megacorporations even interested in Ukraine? What has George Soros been doing in Ukraine since the fall of the Soviet Union in 1991? And why did Hunter Biden get paid $50,000 a month to sit on the board of Burisma Holdings, a Ukrainian energy company? These are just some of the questions you've probably wondered about. Ukraine, gas companies, energy, power. This is just the tip of a very large iceberg. All of this and more on Rise TV's newest series, Deep Insight, with Man in America.
Nice. Very cool to hear Radio Face's voice on there too.
Yeah,
isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an exciting episode, and we've been working on it for a while, but the story with Ukraine just keeps getting deeper. It's not like, you know, oh yeah, that past that came and gone. It's like it just keeps going. And the more you dig into it, as you guys have done extensively, it's Pandora's box.
I mean, all of this is connected. It all is connected. I mean, you could literally take Spygate and then add on what happened with the election fraud, and it's like, oh, it's the same people. And then you bring in Ukraine on top of that, and it's like, oh, dude, it's just this massive, insane web.
It really shows the global swamp and how it's working and operating, and how it's been working and operating for at least more than 20 years. I mean, with Obama going out there in, what was it like when he first became senator, whenever that was, it was like early 90s or something like that. But yeah, it's crazy. And it's weird that they've poured all of that into this one random Eastern European country. And then how people are not doing a little bit of research and reading up about this and then finding it, like, they're not finding it suspicious, aside from, you know, obviously the patriots out there that all think it's strange. It just goes to show you that they definitely have some mind control mechanisms in place or something. Because how can people be this idiotic? I don't get it.
I don't
get
it either, man.
Yeah. Well, it's also the fact that even if somebody was going to research it, like the three of us, we know where to research. We know what to look for. You know, if you go to Google and you search, is there corruption in Ukraine? We know what's going to happen, right? But for a lot of people, and I was talking to a friend recently about this, about the vaccine, is that for a lot of people, they might not even know. They might go to Google and think they're doing their research. And then they find, if they discover that, like, oh, I did a lot of research and it still points in the same direction. So even doing research isn't easy. But hey, I know that you guys have your Q&A coming up.
And you're going to be going live soon.
Yeah, so I have to go finish preparing for that. So I think it'll be an adios. But if, for anybody that's watching, if you want to come join us at 9 p.m., we're premiering that Deep Insight episode. I'll be watching it with you in the commenting, in the chat. And I think I'll be going live for like 5 minutes beforehand just to kind of give a quick update on a few things before we unveil the footage.
We'll be cutting this short right at like 8:55 or whatever.
Perfect. Yeah, we will. And actually, when we go over to Rise TV, I want to show everyone my results that what happened when I typed in, is there corruption in Ukraine?
Hey, Seth, thanks for dropping in and telling everybody about your show tonight, and good luck with
that. Of course.
And we'll show up. We'll try to be there right after.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Bye, sounds man. Good.
Have a good one.
All right. See you guys on Rise TV. Oh, I'm always thinking there's going to be, oh, wait, or what are we doing?
Playing we play trailer.